Blog Talk Radio.
It is that time again. We're here with the pastor for Punch TV with your special host, Joy Brown. Today's guest, we have Pastor Rhonda Hobart Steifener. So we want to welcome her, and I'm going to turn it over to our host, Joy Brown.
Good afternoon. Yes, I am. And how are you today?
I'm doing excellent.
Wonderful. Is our pastor on the line, Pastor Rhonda Hobart Santifer?
I am here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, thank you, our audience, for joining us again on the Pastors for Punch TV. As you know, we are a broadcasting network, multimedia network. We're coming by way of our CEO, Joseph Collins, that has created a show for pastors to come on our line and be interviewed. And interviewed is not a bad thing, because we want to know about the history of your churches, because what we endeavor to do is once we begin to show, have our television lineup, we will be bringing pastors on, like the pastor we have on today, and talking about their stories to document the history of ministry. But today, I am so honored to bring to our audience someone that has been through a trial and has come out with the victory. But her testimony is more than what you think it is. It's not about her. It's what she's doing with her testimony and how she's helping other people with similar things that she had. So I'm just going to take a few moments of your time just to tell you a little bit about our Pastor Rhonda Hobart Santifer. It says, on the day of 9/11, and I'm quite sure all of you have a remembrance of that, so that was the day the United States and the world were turned upside down. But more than that, it was also the day Pastor Rhonda Hobart Santifer began her battle with cancer. Her diagnosis was aggressive form of breast cancer. Throughout the following year, she endured 2 surgeries, 10 rounds of chemotherapy, and 25 days of radiation. During the agony of that time, Pastor Rhonda was sustained by her faith in God, a caring family, a hospital posse, and good friends, one of whom now is her husband. So to celebrate the completion of her treatment, she invited other cancer fighters she had befriended throughout the year, many of them still in the treatment, to a Thanksgiving potluck where they ate, danced, and played bidwest, a card game. At the end of the evening, no one wanted to go home, so the group decided to meet on a monthly basis. As the meeting grew, a local church where Pastor Rhonda had spoken about her experience with cancer donated funds and volunteers to facilitate another larger potluck, and that created a celebration, which is called Celebration of Life Cancer Ministry. And Pastor Rhonda's motto became Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry, a community of cancer fighters, survivors, and their supporters working together to help others navigate the healing process. With that being said, I just got to let you know that this woman also, not only does she celebrate survivors, but she has the never-to-be-forgotten. I'm looking at a booklet that I went to one of her affairs on Sunday, her 15th anniversary, and she has numerous of names listed. And even when I spoke to her and I began to share my story about my mom, and when she died in 2010 of cancer, she had thyroid cancer, she just began to ask me, she said, "Now, how do you spell your mom's name?" And I was just talking, and she said, "Is that what, T-O-M-M-I-E, Brown?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I'm going to add her onto my list." She just don't know how that made me feel. I could even cry now because that's a memory of someone that we can't say God took from her, but he lent my mom to us, and she did a wonderful job. But almost every day, if you have had anyone experience some form of cancer, you know what it feels like, but sometimes you do not have the support you need to bring you through. With that being said, I honor this woman of God to come forward. I praise God for her ministry that she has stepped out and sharing her life experience and also involving others. With no further ado, we want to welcome you to the Pastors for Punch TV studio, Pastor Rhonda Hobart Sanctifer. How are you today?
I am absolutely marvelous.
Yes, you are. And you all should go on our website. It's on Facebook. You can share it. And I want you to let somebody know that we're on, because what she's going to say today may help you, and I'm quite sure it will help you. If you haven't gone through this, you might go through it some way or another. Somebody's going to be connected to you. With the words of wisdom and the things she's going to help you with to navigate through, I want you to share that information. But again, back to you, Pastor Rhonda.
All right. So I'm not exactly sure where you'd like me to begin. I really thank you for coming out on Sunday and being part of our celebration.
That's awesome, yes. I want you to begin where you want to begin. I want you to share with us.
Okay, well, you talked about already how Celebrate Life got started. And we have truly been a blessed ministry that many church doors have opened for us to be able to host our events at their location. We are a outreach ministry more than a structured location. We actually have two monthly support group meetings each month. We have the second Friday at 6:30. We have fun and fellowship, because one of the things that I learned about cancer survivors is we often go to events where where people are educating us and sharing the update of things, and we get a chance to say hello to the person next to us, but we don't get a chance to know them. And so I honestly believe that survivors need to laugh more, and they need to be able to talk informally to one another so that they can continue to be an encouragement to them, as well as get encouraged at the same time.
Exactly, right.
And then we actually have a fourth Friday support group meeting, and that's our empowerment hour, where we bring out special guests. And in fact, we brought out the Charles Drew University Cancer Research and Training. We brought out the researchers who are actually in the lab daily working on various cures for cancer. And various things, not just a cure, but some other things that go along with that. And so we had them to come out, and they were able to share some enlightening information with us about the progress that treatment has taken over time.
Awesome. Yeah, I was tuned in on Sunday. I was invited to your event, and I sit there and just listening to all the women that you were celebrating, for those that had gone through and the amount of times they've been into treatment and coming out, it really blessed me. It really did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's marvelous to be able to be available to those in treatment because a lot of times people find out about us in very different kinds of ways. There could be a flyer at their doctor's office or just a personal referral. And a lot of times they have no idea what to expect. But they usually, when they call, they get a chance to talk to me first.
Okay, good.
And by doing that, I'm able to assess where they are. I can hear how much fear they might be having. And my ultimate goal is to get them to fight the fight of life. And if that means that I need to help them overcome that fear, if that means we need to help them overcome insurance challenges or financial situations where they can't get back and forth to treatment because their car broke down. So whatever that barrier is, we help to eliminate it so that they can continue to fight the fight of life.
And, you know, those are some of the things that you actually are going through that is helpful because, again, we're not mindful of the tremendous stress that a person that is going through it, even when you are the supporting aid there. And sometimes the aggravation that they go through with the treatment that they're experiencing, how, you know, as a mother myself or a daughter, when my mom was going through, how do you comfort them?
Well, everybody needs something a little different. Believe it or not, there are a large number of people that call and they're just fired up.
Wow.
They're fired up to live. But every now and then I do get those that are swept off their feet by the shock of the information, and they just don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. Some of them are still crying like they just found out, and it's a month later. But I just have to talk to them and find out why they're crying. You know, what is their fear? Because we as Americans, we have a tendency to lump all of our emotions into one ball. And as we begin to separate them, you know, well, are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid you won't be able to get to treatment? Are you afraid because someone else that you love was diagnosed and they didn't make it? You know, what is it that's really concerning you that has you so terrified?
Okay.
And I just try to break that down for each person. And I just ask God for the discernment to be able to meet them where they are so that we can minister directly to them all by themselves, not a cookie cutter response.
Exactly right. Okay. Every
Dr. Rogers?
Person is. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we have a caller. Her name is Denise Robinson from Tucson, Arizona. She wants to ask you a question or comment to what you're talking about here. So I just want to bring her on. Denise, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Rhonda.
Hey, Denise, how are you?
I'm here in hot Arizona, but I was letting the gentleman know that I'm regularly in Los Angeles where we have collaborated with Pastor Rhonda on her Celebrate Life ministry with the foundation that I started, Denise Roberts Breast Cancer Foundation. So I'm very, very happy to have this relationship started with Pastor Rhonda because I am this year celebrating 30 years of living from breast cancer,
the first bout.
And Rhonda has definitely, her ministry has helped me along with the women and men that have that are involved in the Denise Roberts Breast Cancer Foundation. So it is very, very true, one of the things that Pastor Rhonda is saying and you are saying is that the first thing that happens when you get diagnosed with this dreaded disease is you have fear. And if you didn't have fear, you wouldn't be human. But what we've learned to do is why we're alive is take that fear and turn it into love. And how do you turn it into love? Is by existing, surrounding yourself with love. The scariest thing for me still, because I've had three bouts of cancer, and is that fear getting becoming dominant in my life. And with Pastor Rhonda, I have been able to lift a lot of the times that I feel it crowding me up with fear and making me sad. Pastor Rhonda has shown me how to get back on that path of laughter.
That's wonderful.
Because one of my taglines is laughter is the best medicine.
Okay.
We are doing this together because it's, I think you heard it on Sunday at her event celebration, is that we are, there's a lot of organizations, and probably should be more, that are helping. We are not in competition. The more we can have women and men coming together for one good cause, and that is to fight to live, and also to not live just living, but live with some life in it, you know?
Right. Well, let me ask you something. You said you're in Arizona, right? So
I'm from Arizona. I'm working here in Arizona. I have some business to take care of, but I live in Los Angeles on a regular basis.
Now, Pastor Ron, there's one thing that I remember what you said at the service on Sunday. You said your ministry is international. It goes further than this parameter of our states. Is that what you said on Sunday?
I did. And that was because we have been interviewed by the BBC News in London, and they have posted that interview on their site, which is on our website right now, if anyone wanted to look at it. And that website is CelebrateLifeCM.org. And so, therefore, individuals who all the way around the world will be able to listen to that interview and be able to get in touch with us.
Wow.
But we also have, there's a lady that I'm working with who lives in East St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I call her from time to time and keep her encouraged. She has a long fight, and she's been fighting a long time. But yet, you know, she says, every time I talk to you, I feel like I can just stand up on my feet and just make it happen. So,
there you go.
And then, we've reached individuals in New York and Louisiana. So the key is that we don't have to be present to do that. But Denise and I are working together on a health fair coming up at the end of October, which is the Her Family Health Day. And Denise could tell you a little bit more about that.
Now, did you?
Yes, we collaborated. Are you there?
I think I got a. I was on your website, and but before we covered that event, I still, because we have an hour to do our show, but I do want to cover that event. But I also, I'm not cutting you off, but I'm interested in to know what a lot of us women that have breast cancer, is it because we neglect to do our examination, or women that are coming up with cancer regardless?
Well, there's a lot of things going on. of us, we feel things and don't go see about them. Sometimes we just put other people ahead of ourselves. But then there are other challenges like medical insurance. And not knowing where to go, and sometimes we say, well, I don't have insurance, I can't figure it out, so I just hope that's not what it is.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different reasons. Denise, did you have some others that you had in mind?
I think that the biggest is what you're saying, but it's the diagnosis I think you were asking about. Are we getting cancer more? Women of color are not getting cancer more. We're just dying from it more, and that is because of lack of access.
Okay.
So we're talking about it more, and hopefully this is going to make a difference in our communities, and that's why I stopped my career as a decorator after a second bout of cancer, and to give a different face to cancer to women that. And I'm not saying just from their economic standpoint. I'm saying just because of who we are and our culture, we don't talk about cancer. And we definitely haven't been talking about breast cancer.
Right.
It's not something that we put on the table. But where other cultures, they go get checked because it's in their face and they see someone that looks like them. okay. and they can relate. So what we're right. doing is working on getting this face of women that are minorities
okay.
to get out there living. And when we're living, then
mm-hmm.
we're giving more hope that it's okay. I just had, in fact, yesterday, a young lady with a good job, Hispanic,
yeah.
and
uh-huh.
she's lives three blocks from Martin Luther King
yeah.
Outpatient clinic, and she has never had a mammogram or a pap smear.
Really?
And she
wow.
was 42. And here I was picking up a car, my car, from being repaired,
yeah.
and she asked me, what did I do? And
mm-hmm.
why did I have Diva Red, that's my nickname, on my
okay.
car? And that from that exciting conversation, I say exciting because she made me laugh. I made
yeah.
her laugh telling her about the Diva. And I said, I run the Denise Roberts Breast Cancer Foundation. Well, that sparked her to say, oh, you had breast cancer? And I explained it, how long
mm-hmm.
and how my age, 34, and had the surgery at 35.
Wow.
And she said, well, I'm thinking about getting a mammogram, and, but I've been afraid. And there it started. Because she is, in fact, fast forward, Rhonda, she is coming to Martin Luther King. She's not going to wait until October. She's going to register and get her mammogram and a pap smear.
Right.
And from that point, she said, I've been driving by the hospital and saw I was new, but I didn't think about going and getting because I was afraid. Here is a woman that makes good money and drives and has not thought about it because maybe she didn't see herself living from breast cancer. She only heard about it. And as I did, I heard about it. And everybody I heard that had breast cancer, the next thing I heard, they were dead. So I don't
wow.
want to talk about breast cancer.
Exactly. Okay. And that's
but
true.
There's
a lot of people
living from even stage 4 cancer now.
Yes.
So
yes.
because the advancements in the treatment have increased so that there are individuals living with stage 4 metastatic cancer, breast cancer, for 10, 15,
yes.
20, 25 years. And so
wow.
we have to not be afraid so that we can get it as early as possible and so that we can live.
That's true.
But we have to get it out there so they'll know. Just like you asking the question, are we getting it more or is it something we're doing? We don't know, and that's what the research is doing. We don't
mm-hmm.
know what the cure is, but we sure can figure out how to live. In the
now,
meantime,
is there anything
we need
that
to...
we're eating in the urban community that's causing us to have cancer?
You know, I'm going to be quite honest. I think that the biggest thing that causes us to get cancer is our diet. We have
our
so
diet.
Many things that our diets.
Okay.
We have gone back and forth listening to. So I know I have. I can only speak for me. And again, I'm living 30 years. I have been as soon as I was diagnosed with cancer, my doctor took me off of all dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
And said that it wasn't good for me. And I listened for the first five years where you're hoping that you make it. I had a 70% chance that it was not going to, that I was going to live. That's pretty high. But I obeyed, got off of dairy products for 5 years. And I added in place lactose, almond milk, different things that were not dairy, and I
right.
added more fruits and vegetables. I exercised more. I never had a weight problem, but I
mm-hmm.
did have a tired problem because I would
uh-huh.
work so much and two kids and everything else going on. I thought because I was moving, I was still tired, so I changed
wow.
that up. And, you know, so I think that when we just realize what's happening in our body and we listen to different people that are professional in that area, meaning nutritionists, the doctors, and other people that are living, like Pastor
now, what
Rhonda
about,
and myself.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Pastor Rhonda? Did you also contribute to changing your diet?
Now, I had a lot of help with that. My mom, I was staying with my mom at the time, and I tell you, she read every book there was to make sure she could take care of her baby. And I was introduced to quite a few new dishes, some I liked and some I didn't, but nonetheless. But it's very, very important for us to check with the doctor first to find out what you should and should not eat, because there are some cancers out there that, while I might say, you know, you need to be eating a strong green leafy diet, some cancers that like colon cancer or something like that, that might be the worst thing in the world for you to eat because of the pain that it could cause you. So first of all, I would say check with your doctor to say, this is what I plan on eating, or do you have a suggested nutritional list for me? And then go forward in doing the most healthiest way that you possibly can.
Wow.
And a lot of times people say, I can't afford to eat healthy. Well, there are places that you can go. Even 99 cent store has a, some of them have a grocery department. So they may not get everything that you need there, but they will have a lot of good choices. And sometimes the store you go to may not be so good, but try another one. And they may have better selection and choices, but we have to look and we have to go out of our way to be able to have a healthier diet. And even if you have to do the fast food thing, there are healthier choices on the menu. You just have to choose them.
Yes. It's amazing.
So it is starting with your education, and that's what we get back to in our foundations, both of us, is education. Because if I wasn't educated about my body and aggressive about my body, then I wouldn't be here. And that's the seriousness of it. I would not be here. But you have to go and be comfortable. So that's what we're doing by on this radio show, is letting people hear living folks that have beaten cancer and are still fighting it.
Right.
You know, our struggle hasn't stopped, but it's the way we're going about it to stay alive that's helping us. So
In fact, I have partnered with Black Women for Wellness, and one of the components that they have is Kitchen Divas, and we get the Kitchen Divas to come out and do a live food cooking demonstration, because one of the things that I have challenges with is, okay, here's the vegetables. I even bought some that I don't even know what to do with. So can somebody tell me, now that I have them in my house, what do I do? Can I eat it raw? Do I have to cook it? You know, what's the deal with olive oil versus avocado oil? You know, so they come in and they bring that education, and what they cook, we eat that day.
That's good.
And so there will be at least one new dish that you could go home and prepare that's healthier choice for you.
Okay, I want you to stay on that note, but I, Pastor Rhonda and both Denise are on the line. They are cancer survivors, and we're going to take a commercial break, and then both of you guys have made statements. You were in other careers prior to you finding, I would say, your purpose, and your life change came through your it's a tragedy, but again, God always uses something in your life to turn it off for good, and he always gives you the victory. So after this commercial, I'm coming back to both of you to ask you another question, because when you left your current positions, how did you make that transition? Because I know you had to be making some good money. Anybody that's an interior decorator and then 25 years director of special projects, we want to know what process. And I know you both had cancer, but something else must have transpired to make you just dedicate yourself and dig into this career. But we're going to have a commercial first, and then I'm going to come back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Awesome. I'm Joy Brown with Punch, the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. And on the line, we have two awesome women that are here on our show. Our special featured guest is founder and CEO, Pastor Rhonda Hobart Sanctifier. She said, I call it Sanctifier. So,
yeah, it's Sanctifier.
Sanctifier. And then we have Ms. Denise, is that Roberts? It's on the
yes.
line also with us, and I'm quite sure we have other guests that are there. But prior to we leaving, we are Punch TV Studio, multimedia, entertainment business, broadcasting, and television network. And we do have our channel that is showing Southern California, KILM, right now, where one day I'm hoping that we can bring you two women on to the television show also. And that's Channel 64 in L.A., Southern California Express, all the way from the top to the bottom. But our TV studio right now is in the midst of an IPO, which is initial public offering. We're offering our shares to the urban community for $1 a share. But one of the reasons this show is has been created is to offer pastors like yourself a platform to also become partners with Punch TV Studio, buying shares in the company. And I'll be sharing more of that with you and other pastors as we go along. But I want to get back to the subject. And just one thing prior to me finding out about your careers and how you made the switch. And I know we're talking about breast cancer, but I run into so many men that also do not properly care for their body and prostate cancer. How do you get a lot of guys, men that come to you also talking about that?
We do get men. Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry is a ministry for all people, men,
okay.
women, boys, and girls. And while
mm-hmm.
we do get men and we have served men in the past, a lot of times, you know, the struggle we have with getting a man to the doctor. Well, a
yes.
lot of times getting them to a support group can be equally as challenging.
Uh-huh.
So it's the
okay.
women in their life, whether it's their spouse or their partner
uh-huh.
or their daughter or their niece, they're the
yes.
ones who come and get the
okay.
information to take it back.
Okay.
But nonetheless, we do when we do our larger events where we have
mm-hmm.
a mixed audience, we make
yeah.
sure that we cover men's cancers as well as general cancers.
Right.
Because that might be, for many of them, the only time that they will
mm-hmm.
come to an event. And we have
okay.
a couple of men who are actively involved
right.
in the work of Celebrate Life. And so we make it a man-to-man kind of thing.
Okay, right. Okay, that's awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, women of God.
And you know, you do realize yeah. that men get breast cancer too, right?
I heard of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
What's the range of
It's
men?
Very rare. The percentage is low. But
okay.
We take on in our foundation that low number should not be
okay.
there, period, because the reason that they're dying from breast cancer, even though it's a small amount, is because they didn't know they could get breast cancer.
Wow.
So TDR-BCF is trying to really address that with getting men that have had breast cancer and had the treatment for to join us when we have events and stand up and say, I not only took care of my prostate, but I saw this on my chest and didn't recognize it. And I went and asked my doctor, and I found out I had breast cancer. And then we have a young lady that works with us who had breast cancer twice, and her uncle was feeling all bad for her and helping her with his support, and found out he had breast cancer.
Oh, my
and
God.
She told him to go get checked because he said he had a redness on one of his nipples,
which
they can call them their pecs, their chest, or whatever, but this man had a redness that he had ignored and said it was probably something he did while he was in training, you know, at the gym. And so he went and checked it out, and he had stage 2 breast cancer.
Wow.
And he is alive and well because of his niece saying, you can get breast cancer too. So what we have to do, again, this goes back to addressing the big issue. Educate. Show somebody, and especially in our culture, we are very visual people. And we see, when we see Pastor Rhonda, when we see Denise Roberts, when we see all of the other women and men that we gather around, we notice a change. We see people getting a little bit more excited when they can relate to looking at you. So men, they are getting breast cancer, but unfortunately, I have experienced too many of them that have died, and their reason and their partners have told me, I didn't know he could get breast cancer. I didn't know a guy. And when we have events, and we have it in our brochures, men can get breast cancer. We have a picture of a man. We show you how it's happening. I've been interviewed with men. And they say the same thing. And it's all across the board. I'm not telling just black men, Hispanic
men.
So
should that
I'm
be one of the examinations they ask for when they go in to be examined?
Yes. But more so
is it not nothing that the doctor would just arbitrarily offer?
No, you have, unfortunately, what I've talked to the doctor about men, they have to go in and be examined by getting a ultrasound of their chest if they have a symptom. If the doctor, if you're seeing your doctor for prostate, your regular urologist, they will look at your chest if they see anything on it or feel it. But it is a man thing. Unfortunately, like Pastor Rhonda said, they're hard breed. they know it, but they have to be made to be comfortable that it's okay, and that's up to the doctor. I'm talking to men's urologists and asking them to be a little bit more passionate with your men. As hard as you worked with them to get them to come in and get their prosthesis check, you know, they know that's work. Then why don't you look at their chest and ask them, do they have anybody in their family that has had breast cancer? A man, a woman. My son is very aware of breast cancer that could possibly hit him. So he looks, and he's a very healthy, 37-year-old man, but he's been aware since his mother has been dealing with breast cancer, and then his aunts and his grandmother. It has hit quite a few, but he knows men that have gotten breast cancer, and he knows one that passed and one who's living. So we just have to educate. That's the best word, Pastor Rhonda, I don't know. I just think seeing is what has helped all of us grow in our organization, seeing somebody that is living. Knowing the person that died is not as exciting as it is knowing that person that's living from their disease that hit their body.
And step 2 to that is early detection saves lives.
Right. That's right.
You have to go as soon as you know. You have to get the barriers eliminated as soon as possible so that you can get all the care that you need as soon as possible. Because we don't have to die from cancer. It's other things involved, such as timing, you know, interruptions mm-hmm. to care, not being able to get to the doctor because there are no doctors on your side of town. You have to go all right. the way to the west side to find a doctor, you know, whatever the case might be. So mm-hmm. whatever it is that we have to do, early detection.
That's right. And that's why Pastor Rhonda and myself, I'm going back and reiterating, are on this program because of early detection. I did not listen. She did not listen and say, okay, we'll get back to this and we're going to start our first. We're going to go see God and talk through it. God has already given you the greatest gift, and that is choices, life. And so then you start doing your choices. That one of those choices is saying, get this disease out of me and then show me how to do better. And I got the disease out of me. Pastor Rhonda got the disease out of her. And we learned and asked God, now show us what we do better. You got it. You cannot put the cart in front of the horse, which a lot of our people in these communities that have lived on fear is why I decided, and that opens up why I started this foundation and gave up a very lucrative career, is because we don't want to talk about anything that we can't see. And you can't see cancer until it starts hurting you and weakening you. It doesn't hurt until it starts weakening and hurting like that. So I didn't see cancer. It was inside me hiding, but the symptoms started coming out, and I paid attention. So when I saw that I was healed, that part of it, I started acting differently. And so people around me in my career, they started noticing. And when mm-hmm. they asked, why are you doing certain things? I said, you know, girl, I was off. You didn't see me because I had a mastectomy. I had breast cancer. And after pulling up some of them off the floor because they were shocked, because they hadn't seen anybody that was living like I was living, successful, partying, doing things. And I'm telling you now, I have but one breast, and I had breast cancer, and
okay.
I'm fighting.
Yeah. Right.
Awesome. So that's what
that's
God
awesome
gave
testimony.
Me that choice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Pastor Rhonda, what was
yes.
your early detection? What's your early detection that you had?
Well, I actually thought that because I had inflammatory breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I simply thought that I realized that my breast was red. It was hot to the touch. And I thought I was gaining weight and the bra was too tight. But when I would take the bra off, it didn't cool off. And so that's what took me to the doctor. So on 9/11, I already had that appointment because something wasn't right. But because no one talked about it in my family, the last thing from me, my mind was that I had breast cancer.
Did you share that with someone close that you was experiencing the hotness in your breast and the soreness?
No, I went to the doctor.
Okay.
Because most people that I know, they're going to ask me a list of 20 questions.
Okay.
I need to have answers for those 20 questions.
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
You know, let's go to the doctor, the one who could figure this out. And as soon as the doctor told me what it was, that's
mm-hmm.
when I began my, that's when I got on my soapbox. So now that I know what this is, we figured out how we're going to handle it. You know, I had to tell the doctor, look, I have a busy life. And so we either need to do this now and be done by December the 9th, or I'll see you, you know, the day after, you know, because I have a speaking engagement. I got things to do.
Is that what you
and, did? And I did.
Okay.
And then he said, well, you know, you're handling this a little too well. But what he doesn't know is that I had the entire weekend to talk to Jesus.
Okay.
And so by doing that, by Monday morning, I was ready for whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the doctor, I said, there's nothing to it but to do it. Let's lock and load.
Wow.
Because I have a life to live.
You are phenomenal.
You have to look at it like that, because if you look at it like, oh, I'm not going to make it, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
this is not feeling good. If you look at it like that, you have a uphill battle to fight.
Right. Okay.
But
you
if you look at it like a
you.
Victor, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it like you are going to win, and every
mm-hmm.
day I'm going to win, I'm going to kick cancer's butt, I'm going to make this happen. Then
right.
when you can look at it like that, days go by a whole lot faster.
Okay.
They go by a whole lot faster, and it just gives you more will to fight. But if you're in woe is me, you'll get stuck in woe is me, and it can become hard.
Right. Okay. That's something. Now, I was asking you, because you had a career 25 years, and
mm-hmm.
that was going really well for you, I'm quite sure.
Yes.
So your life, did you change the pattern of where you were going because of the cancer, or you just came to that end of the road that you knew you had to make that adjustment in your life?
Well, no, I was working for the Los Angeles Urban League for 25 years, and one day somebody was just talking about like, wow, how long have you been here? Oh, 30 years. I said, ooh, I'm not going to be here that long. But at the same time, I also was already running Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry.
Okay.
And I was, while I was the director of special projects, my largest project was helping entrepreneurs grow, develop and grow their business.
Okay.
And so simultaneously, I was doing the cancer work through Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry. And
right,
at the point of 25 years, you know, the National Urban League, they have a quarter century club. And I said, all I want is to be inducted into that club as a full-time staff person. And when that happens, then I will be released to go and to serve as Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry full-time. And the only work I want to do is work that has to do with cancer. And and since that time, I have also taken on a wonderful responsibility working for Charles Drew University in the Cancer Research and Training Division as a community liaison, taking information into the smaller churches of South Los Angeles.
Wow. So how has that been? Has that been, you know, the open doors?
Open doors.
Are they hearing?
They're open doors, some of them, because we're actually I'm conducting interviews with 100 pastors. And
100 pastors.
All except one that I have challenges with, but their doors are open. And one pastor told me, I have pastored this church for 20 years. My father pastored this church for 30 years. And in 50 years, never have we talked about health in our congregation.
Are you serious?
But because the information came, he wants to know now, how do we go about making this happen?
Okay.
So many doors are opening within the faith-based community, and it's not just one faith. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what the faith is, because we all have lives, we all have bodies, and we all need to take care of it. And believe it or not, cancer is no respect of person.
So how do you fund your cancer ministry?
By individual donations mostly. So we look for individuals who can give to us on a monthly basis. You know, even $20 a month makes a big deal for us. And then we do have we have two events a year. We have a Worship in Pink, which we will be doing on October the 29th. At a church where we just ask everybody to wear pink and come on out and celebrate with us, and we celebrate all cancer types, not just breast cancer.
Okay.
And then we'll usually have a breakfast in the early part of the year, because I like to celebrate. I like to party, and I like to have fun. And
you
there
know,
are some people who will come out in the spring but won't be alive in the winter.
Oh, my God.
So I make sure I do two things a year in a corporate setting so that they will be able to be there and we can celebrate them and give them their flowers while they yet live. And we give our caregivers lifesavers because that's just what they are.
Wow. So I noticed on some of your pictures, because of the chemo and the radiation, your hair. Did you lose all your hair?
Twice.
Okay.
because, you know, and you usually, generally, at least from what I know up to now, within 15 days, by the 15th, 16th day, your hair starts coming out, depending on the kind of chemo that they're giving you.
Okay.
But hair is just, it'll grow back. It will grow back. Right. And I need to encourage somebody, don't not have chemo because of your hair. It will grow back. It will grow. You can get a wig beforehand so that the transition is easy. You know, so you don't have to go bald and then go find a wig. But get a wig in advance if hair is an issue for you. But don't let that be the decision that keeps you from living.
Because I know that's one of the things that not even just women, men have a problem with that too, them losing hair. It's a big issue.
But the doctors try to prepare them. And letting them know what's going to happen. And sometimes the journey is just tough. It's hard. It's a challenge. And to wrap your head around, you went to the doctor for a cold and you come out with cancer. You know, that takes a minute to wrap your head around.
Right.
You know, you were coughing and then, you know, it was no big deal. Just give me some cough syrup and let me go home. No, you have lung cancer. You know, that is more than a notion to just, you know, to start a treatment of care and to shift your entire life and to know your body's about to change and get adjusted to what we call the new normal.
And you
because
know what,
life will not be
thing,
the same.
Yeah, I was told also, and I guess I can understand that they say when you're going in to get a diagnosis from a doctor, you should bring somebody with you because a lot of times when the doctor is talking to you, it's not that he's trying to go over your head, but your focus is not all there. When he starts talking facts to you, you can literally just not hear him. You hear, but you don't hear. And by the time you leave the doctor's office, you can't remember what he said other than you got cancer.
Right.
You know,
and that's why not only take somebody with you, but get permission to tape it. And almost all smartphones have a tape recorder. Because even if your person who goes with you, they're going to emotionally get stuck on a different something and the doctor keeps on talking and you get in the car afterwards and try to, oh, no, that's not what he said. That's not what he meant, you know, or she meant.
Right.
You know, so a tape recorder is even better.
Okay.
With somebody there because even with myself and with Denise, we will not let anyone go through care alone. If that means, like, celebrate life, we go to treatment with you. We are telephone buddies. You know, we're hospice support advocates. You know, we help all the way along from screening to hospice. And because nobody should have to go through this journey alone.
That's good. Now, we are coming to the close. And an hour goes very fast when you have someone that's given so much valuable information like you and Denise gave. So what I would like to do, I know your website, just repeat your website, and then the event that you're getting ready to have, I want you to say that also.
Okay. The website is Celebrate Life, CM, as in Cancer Ministry, .org. And our phone number is 424-258-5433, and that spells life. That's 424-258-5433.
Awesome. And then I have, I'm on your website now, and it talks about learn to cook a healthy dish. Is that your book?
Is that what is it?
It says learn to eat learn to cook a healthy dish.
That's when the Kitchen Divas come out. That was about a month ago.
Oh, wow.
But they will be coming back. We have the Kitchen Divas come often, so they will be coming back. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Excellent. So with your last few minutes of conference, I want you to encourage somebody, just as though you were talking to an audience of men and women that are going through what you went through, what would you say to them?
Keep your head up, keep a smile on your face, and fight the fight of life. Know that you don't have to go through this alone, and Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry is here to serve you no matter where you live across the nation and around the world.
You have been listening to the Pastors for Punch TV. Our special guest today was Pastor Rhonda Hobart Sandifer, founder and CEO of Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry. And we had an invited guest also, the project coordinator, Denise Roberts, Breast Cancer Foundation. And it was such an awesome show today, and giving the information that you have allowed us to hear, because believe it or not, somebody somewhere is going through something with cancer, have received a report, and we need to know, where do we go from here? And sometimes we don't know. If you just had a shoulder to cry on, or somebody that could just point you to the right direction. And the ministry, I was so impressed when it says, even on her website, the things that they do for is helping you, transportation. It's just little small things that sometimes keep a person from knowing that they're going to win this fight. And Celebration Life Cancer Ministry provides encouragement, education, financial resources, and a comforting ear to anyone whose life has been touched by cancer. This is a tremendous time to let you know, Pastor Rhonda, that we appreciate you taking the time out to come and minister to us about something that is happening right now, and you were just giving us a blossom, a rose, to help us to know that we can survive cancer. But we thank you also just remembering those that didn't make it, but the family members still need to know, how do you cope when you do have a loss? And you have done a tremendous job in the community all over, just reinforcing to people that a personal battle is just not theirs alone, but it's for all of us to take part of it. We appreciate you coming on today on the Pastors for Punch TV studio. Our website is Punch, P-U-N-C-H, TVstudios.com. And you can go to our website, because we're in the middle of our IPO, which will be closing October the 1st. It's been an awesome journey, and still we're looking for investors, churches, individuals that you can be shareholders in our company. And it's one of the first times that it's ever been offered to the urban community. And right now our advertising is going all over the world, and people are just going on our website, and they're clicking that little button, and they're becoming shareholders on the ground floor before we start trading. Imagine $1. It's a $1 share. It doesn't mean you only buy $1, but it allows you to buy $100, $200, $500, $1,000, $10,000, $20,000, 100,000 shares. But when it manifests and when it starts trading, you're going to be so blessed. And you're going to be so happy that you are part of Punch TV Studio. Okay, Pastor, just your last words. Give us some love.
We just really want to encourage those individuals who are going through. And to the survivor, know that those that are helping you are interested in participating in your healing. Give them something to do to help you. God bless you.
Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us. This is your host, Joy Brown, with Punch TV Studio, the Pastors for Punch TV. You have a great day, and we see you on next Wednesday at 3 o'clock for another special guest. Have a wonderful weekend and be safe.
Amen.